radio.org.au.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au. This program was originally recorded for ACC TV.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Recently, I was talking to the Catholic Guy Impact Communities about their core values. Core values are those things that we hold to be true. And the truth is that all of us do have core values, things that are important to us that we individually believe are true for us. Well, the core value we were speaking about is that we value servant living. Servant living is where we put people in the place of our preference, where we give our lives in order that others would be blessed and experience wonderful lives. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So go get your family, get your friends, get everybody you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I pray today's message blesses you. One of the things that we say is we value servant living. We value servant living. And servant living, this concept of servant living, comes from the very reason we exist, the purpose, our mission. And our mission is found in three sentences, effectively. And our mission or purpose statement says this: we exist to reach those who do not connect with the church, so that they come into an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus through the building of church communities that people love to attend. We exist to reach those who do not connect with the church, right? We're trying to reach those who don't connect. And there's two kinds of disconnection. A lot of people attend church but are disconnected, people will tell you. And many priests say that to me. A lot of people who go to church are disconnected, and yet they're there every week. And then there are those people who just don't turn up. That's an obvious disconnection. But so we're trying to reach those who are disconnected. I've got to be truthful. There have been times in my life when I've felt very disconnected from God and church. And I'm sure there might be more of those times in the future. So that when those people, when you reach those people, which means to bring them to a relationship with Christ, so that they come into an ever-deepening relationship. I remember when I was first married 31 years ago, I thought this was it. And now after 31 years, it's so much richer, so much better, there's so much more than I ever thought or dreamed it could be. That love deepens over time, and so it is with our relationship with God. But unfortunately for many of us Christians and for we Catholics, for many of us we believe that somehow, well, I believe, and our relationship stays stagnant. And it's never intended to be that way. It's meant to be this ever-deepening relationship with God. And then finally, through the building of church communities that people love to attend, more and more people are disconnected from church than ever. It's only servants that are going to address that. It's only people who are prepared to lay down their want in order that others can hear the gospel message. And that doesn't, I'm not talking about professional church people. I'm talking about the ordinary people, in a sense. A servant notices a need. A servant notices a need. The second thing is the servant takes the initiative. Jesus gets up, and he puts a towel around his waist. In other words, you can notice the need, but you've got to take initiative. And what Jesus does, he prepares himself. There are multiple ways to prepare yourself for things. Sometimes preparing yourself to live like a servant is to seek out some form of training. Sometimes it's to read. Sometimes it's to go talk to someone else. Sometimes you already know what you need to do, but it's to prepare yourself. And servanthood requires preparation of two things. It requires preparation of our heart and preparation of our hands, what we do. Preparation of our heart and our hands. Because do you reckon you can serve for wrong motive? Many people do. Many people do. And I must admit there have been times in my own life, if I was truthful, I certainly have served for wrong motive. Served to be noticed or served to gain credit. Or serve because it might set me up for a better opportunity for something in the future. But that's not servanthood. That's feathering my own nest and doing things for my own means. A servant takes the initiative, but a servant prepares their heart. They prepare their heart to lay down for others. The other thing, interestingly, about this is servanthood is about, number three, being able. I'm able to do this. I'm able to do this. There are many things I'm not able to do. There are many things we're not able to do. But in your world, what are the things that you see that you can do that you could do something about? Someone said to me, gee, moving all the way from Perth to live in Sydney to come and do this sort of thing, that's kind of crazy. But the truth is, unfortunately, rightly or wrongly, I feel I can contribute something. I'm not saying it's the answer. I'm not saying it'll be the best thing. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, but I feel I can do this. I feel I can reach people who tonight are sitting in homes and relationships are terrible in their marriages. Their raising of their children is difficult. Young people who are feeling lost and struggling to find meaning in their life. People who are lonely. The poor. I can do something about that, I feel. Now, not everybody can, and I'm not saying that better or worse. There are so many people I meet who are so capable of so much more than I'm capable of. It's a question of what are you able to do? Not compare yourself to the person beside you, but what can you do? That's all that matters. Just what you'll be. The fourth thing is that Jesus steps aside from what is his. Jesus steps aside from what is his. Jesus steps aside from what is his. And what we see in this is he puts aside his outer garment. Remember, he says it, he takes off his outer garment. In other words, he puts aside what's his. Servanthood requires saying, I would prefer this for me. But because it's going to require this, I will give up my place of preference. I want to sit in this chair because I always sit in this chair. But if it's going to help you, I'll give you my chair. Servanthood is giving someone else your place of preference with no expectation of return and no expectation of praise and no expectation of thank you. Now we can say, but aren't they good manners? Yes, they may be. But you don't. That's not your motivation for doing them. You're doing them is because it's to serve them. And it's putting someone else your place of preference. Number five is he rounds up what's needed. Servanthood means that you have to get the things you need in order to serve. So you need training, but you have to go and gather some of the things you need to serve. When we first, just as another example, because I know these examples, when we first started in this, I realized back when I first started in working in church stuff, I had a philosophy where if you did things as cheaply as you could, because if you did them cheap, you made it possible for people to come, and because money in church work's always a stretch, so you did them as cheaply as you could because that was the way you did it. But what I realized was that so many people that had money couldn't relate to it, so they didn't come. And when I talked to them, they just wouldn't come because it wasn't their world. And I realized that my attitude of, oh, you don't need it that to be that good, was really preventing a whole stack of people being able to hear the message of the gospel because I put my bias on it. Now, I know there are times when there are things to do that need to be done in a sense, in humble means, but there are a whole group of people in our society that will only be reached if you do it with a certain level of presentation. That's just the truth of it. We may not like that. We may think everybody should just do it in my way, but the truth is there's no single way. And that's the reason why the Catholic Eye Impact Communities, the truth is this is not for everybody. There are some of you here, some of you watching, this is not for you. Because there's another spirituality. You'll experience the Lord far more powerfully in a different place if he's calling you there. And so God doesn't get us, you know, you want to go to the place that God wants you to be. And if that's here, great. If it's somewhere else, be there. For me, I had to gather. I realized what I thought God was asking me to do, we had to gather the resources to be able to do it. Mother Teresa, when she looked out that window that day and saw that dying person and took them down to the hospital, and the hospital said, we don't want them, and then she came back and reflected on that. She realized that she was going to have to do things in a certain way and gather a certain group of people in a certain type of facilities in order to do it. And if you feel like you're being called a servant living in certain things, you've got to gather the resources that you need in the way that you need to gather those resources in order that can be done. The sixth thing is you have to engage. You've got to engage in another's need. You've got to engage in another's need. And what I mean by that, it's one thing to notice. It's another thing to take initiative and say, I'm going to do something. But you then got to engage it. You've got to be, and what I mean by that is you can see the poor, but if all you do is give your money to the poor, that's one thing. But sometimes you've got to engage being with the poor. You look at this whole sexual abuse thing that's been happening around the world in the church. And I heard a bishop speak about this recently. He said, for a long time, he said, I just had this opinion about it, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, but I was completely changed when I engaged the sexually abused. When I sat across the table from them, when I sat face to face, knees to knees in lounge chairs and held them. He said, then it changed me. That's when it changed me. And I suppose what made me passionate about the unchurched, because I've seen so many who are so lost because they don't know who Christ is. And they can't hear it in the church because we're saying it in a language they don't understand just at this point in history. And their lives would be so more rich with an understanding of the presence and a knowledge of the presence of Jesus in their lives. And to me, I've sat knee to knee with thousands of people who are lost because we're not saying it in a way that they can hear. We've got the answer, but we're not saying it in a way that we can hear. Any of you older people here, you got children? I remember walking through my house once and I walked past my kids and I said, pick that up. And I kept going. I came back half an hour and it was still there. And I said, listen, I said before to pick that up. And they said, no, you didn't. See, I'd told them, but they'd not heard. There's a lot of people in the church light right now. We're telling the truth. We're preaching the truth. But people are not hearing. A different sound, a different way of saying the same thing, not a new message. We have no permission to give a new message. And that's why if you read the last three popes, over and over and over and over and over, they're saying, find a way to say it. To communicate it in the culture that you're in. The same old message, not a brand new message. You've got to gauge in another needs. See, in the time of Jesus, the reason he washed their feet was for this reason. Was in their world, because of the terrain, because of the issue of comfort, if you went in and you were wearing sandals and you had stones and sand in your feet, it didn't make for a most comfortable night. Often they sat on the ground. And so if everybody comes in with stones and sand, it didn't make for comfortable sitting. And so washing people's feet when they came into your house was not just a question of hospitality. It was to make them comfortable, but it was also a question of keeping your house clean so you can continue to entertain, because if you sat on the ground, because wood in the day of Jesus' time was at a premium. Go and have a look around how many forests there are around Israel. There's not. Wood would be brought in. So in many cases, they lived on the ground as well. And see, it's interesting. Jesus didn't recognize just the need of the individual. You've got stones in your shoes, your sandals. This will make you feel more comfortable. Jesus noticed the need of the group. Servant living is noticing both the individual and the group as well. And then the seventh thing that we notice about this is the whole question of valor. Valor, all right? Being brave, being strong, being courageous. Foot washing was regarded as so lowly a task that it could not be required of Hebrew slaves. Think about that. It was so lowly that Hebrew slaves, slaves of other nationalities, would wash feet, but not Hebrew slaves. And the slaves had no rights. Often foot washing was generally performed by the lowliest servant who was foreign-born in Israel. And here is Jesus. He looks up, he notices. He takes the initiative, he gets up. It says he stood up, he prepared himself. He was able to do it. He takes off his clothes, his outer garment. He gets the basin of water that he needs, and he engages in these people's needs, and he doesn't worry. And he steps up and does it. Now, here's the interesting thing, is there wouldn't have been an apostle in the room, scholars tell us, that would not have noticed there was no one to wash the feet. That all 12 of them would have looked around and gone, who's going to do it? And not one of them steps up, and yet Jesus steps up to the plate. And once again, Jesus gives us an example, and they are stung and they are stunned. Go back and read the scripture. By the action of Jesus, who stands up and he does what others, none of them will do. So here's Jesus, the Son of the living God, laying down his life. This is Jesus giving us another example. So here's a few things quickly that we learn about servant living. Servant living is the willingness to take up the position of a servant. It's the willingness. I'll do this. And it's a willingness of attitude every day. It's leaving here this evening and going, you know what, when we go out to coffee, if we do afterwards, who needs? I'll get. Have my seat. It is noticing people on the street. It is noticing people in our work. It is noticing our boss who's hassled, upset, going through all of the stuff of life that we all various go through at various times in our life. Servant living is the willingness to take it up. It's the willingness to say, I will do this. You know, servant living is I will. And it's I will before it happens. The other thing about servant living comes from the knowledge of who we are. Servant living comes from the knowledge of who we are. Servant living comes from the knowledge of who we are. In verse 3, it said this. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he'd come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around him. Isn't that an amazing verse? It says, Jesus, knowing that he'd come from the Father, he knew where he was from, that he'd come from God and was going to God. So Jesus was clear about his identity, and it says he got it because of that, he got up. How do we discover who we are? We discover it in two ways, and it isn't in your notes, but we discover it through Scripture, or three ways. We discover it through Scripture, we discover it through what the church teaches us through its tradition, and we discover it in our daily prayer. We come to a discovery of who we are, that experience of God in us. Servant living, this next one. Servant living does not come from an attitude of I'm not as good as anyone else, so I'll do it. Did you hear that? Servant living doesn't come from an attitude of, I'm not as good as anybody else, so I'll do it. Servant living doesn't come from that attitude of, I don't know what I can do. I can't sing, I can't talk, I can't do this or I can't do that, so therefore I'll do that. That's not servant living. Servant living is realizing it's because it's Christ that does it in us and because of who we are in Christ. Servant living is voluntary. It's not forced. That's the next one. Servant living is voluntary. It's not forced. You've got to freely do it. Jesus drives home a point where he says, no great benefit for this, my friends. He said, in the solemn truth, one scholar said of this, he says in verse 16, very truly I tell you, the servants are not greater than their master, nor are the messengers greater than the one who sent them. Remember, a servant is someone who represents as an emissary of the one who sent him. And Jesus is not saying because you're a servant, you're greater. No, he's just saying this is what you do. This is how you live. So in the Christian community, next line. In the Christian community, servant living is to make your talents, your training, your experience, and your resources available to others. This is love. So servant living is to make your talents, training, experience, and resources available to others. It's to make what you've got available to others. Remember in Acts 2:42, it says, and they shared with one another, and they sold their homes, and they gave of their substance in order that others would have. And specifically, how does that work in a parish or in a community or in a place like here? Specifically, it is to make, and this is the next line, it is to make your gifts and resources available to achieve the purpose of that community, the place where God has called you. For us, it is to reach people who are disconnected from the church. For us, it is to grow them in an ever deeper relationship with Jesus. And for us, it's to build church communities that people love to attend. Seriously, love to attend. They just love it. People just want to come. over and over and over and over again. And the next line is, in the Christian community, it's saying, I'm prepared to contribute. I'm prepared to give. I'm a musician. I'm an administrator. I can be strategic in my thinking. I can organize. I can welcome. I can feed people. I can do a whole variety of things. Servant living means to share our lives. Servant living, there's only a couple more things to write and then we're done. Servant living means to accept others. One of the things that, I think if this community is successful, we must have a high percentage of people among us, disproportionate of people that have social needs. They're socially inept. Because we live in a society where those people are rejected. No one wants them. If the church is not a place where people who don't have friends or don't fit in or they're socially awkward can't come, where can they go? Because they live alone. And sure, you have to love them and care for those people. And one of the things I've been privileged with through all the things that I've done over the years is I've always had a good percentage of people who've had particular needs. Because surely that's the church. It's not the place of the elite. It's the place of the humble and it's the place of the servant. Servant living may mean challenging and not leaving them where they are. Write that down, where they are. Just because someone is where they are, what's happening in there, it doesn't mean that that's where you leave someone. It doesn't mean you leave someone in the place of their struggle or you don't challenge them to grow. And we're done, right? Oh, no, one last thing. Servant living means being honest with others. It means being honest with others. When Sandra said to you before, walk around, say hello to a few people. How many, when people said to you, say, how you going? And you went, fine. You said, good. And I guarantee in a group this size, that would not be true. So we're going to implement something new here. And it's this. And when someone says to you, good, then you're going to reply, are you really good? You're going to reply with, how are you really? No, seriously, next time you meet someone and they go, how are you going? Oh, good. Then say, how are you really? See, there are so many people who are in need of love, but they just need someone who'd be interested in them to ask the question. Surely we're the church. See, in our own mind, we have to apply the scriptures in the circumstances and the places that we are and to be the Christian men and women that God has called us to be. How will you honor them? How will you serve them, even though they're your daughters and they give you honor as a father? But how will you serve them as women? And that's the question, how will you serve your husband, your wife, your mum and dad, your children, your friends, your uni students? Because that's the message of the gospel. And Jesus invites us to be what he is to us, a servant. And he ultimately laid his life down for us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you today that you love us so amazingly. And Father God, we pray that we would see in others what they don't see in themselves. We pray, Father God, that you would give us the ability to reach tens of thousands of people, just a small group of people to reach tens of thousands of people so they could be all that they could be, to see in people what they don't see. Lord God, allow us to be people that raise up those who are weak. Lord God, to raise up those who are successful, to raise up those who are wealthy and powerful. Lord God, to raise up those who have nothing. Father God, allow us to serve one another with a degree of humility and yet power. To Lord God, with the ability to serve with intention, Lord God, and yet a loving hand. Lord God, bless us. And wherever we're watching right now, and wherever room we're in right now, may your spirit surround us right now. May your spirit be in us right now. And Lord God, would you just speak to our heart this very moment? Let's just have a moment's silence just with God. And if there's something that you want to say to him right now, why don't you do that? And right now you want to be that servant person. You want to develop that servant heart to live that, you want to live as a servant with your head held high because you know who you are. Tell God right now, God, would you use me to be a servant? Would you open my eyes to see, to love and to know? And Lord, we make all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
At the end of many of our events, people often say to me, what's next? Well, I went away and thought, well, I'm going to create something and I'm going to call it What's Next. And what it is that every fortnight we send to you a television program, a whole message, something that will bless you that you can watch and it can help you enrich your life. We also send you some study notes that you can look at, that you can share with others, that you can do in a small group or in your parish. Many people are doing it in all sorts of places around the world, and we just want to give it to you to bless you so you can read, research, and grow more deeply in your faith life. So what you do is you go to this address and you just sign up, and we'll send it to you every fortnight. It'll bless you. You'll know what's next every 2 weeks. Well, the Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should go to God, we should gather our friends and have them join us in praying to Him that He would bless us. Well, sometimes finding people to pray for us can be difficult. So why don't you write to me on the addresses on your screen, and I and my prayer team, the people who pray with me, will join with you in asking God to bless you wherever you are in your life. Well, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go to church at the moment, I want you to know that there are people who have a heart to serve you with their lives, to serve you in order that you could achieve all that you do. It's what so many people do in our world. Well, that's it. I'm Bruce Downs. You've been watching The Catholic Guy. We will see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au. To find out more about The Catholic Guy's discipleship program, visit whatsnext.thecatholicguy.tv. To send Bruce a prayer request, visit the contact section at thecatholicguy.tv. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.